Okay, let's jump back into the sugya. Last week, we began to look at a sugya that I think is a particularly appropriate way to spend the final weeks and the final days that bring us to the Yom Tov of Kabbalah Satorah. As we'll see when we close, it's a sugya that and a halacha that's all about appreciating Talmud Torah. And that's really how we began last time. We saw the Ramban's poetry in the Sefer HaMitzvos, where he describes this, the idea of Birkas HaTorah. He highlights the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chaf Aleph, right over here. Nice. He highlights the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chaf Aleph. A mitzvah to recite Birkas HaTorah in advance of learning. In Ramban's poetry, he spoke about it as an opportunity to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the gift of Talmud Torah, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the gift of guidance. And rather than leading life blindly without clarity about purpose and about how to really accomplish in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the gift of giving us a sense how to make the right choices to have a beautiful life, Ba'olam Hazeh, and even more significantly, to build Olam Haba. Appreciation for the gift of Talmud Torah. And you'll remember that we began to develop last time, Brisker quotes from his father, Reb Chaim, that perhaps is a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Vilna Gaon. Is that the way to look at the mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah? Should we look at it as Ramban does, as a Birkas Shavach V'Hodah, or as a Birkas HaMitzvah? After all, the Rambam introduces us, speaking of Hilchos Brachos, the different categories of Brachos. Sounds like Birkas HaTorah is a Birkas HaMitzvah. Asher Kedishom V'Sosav V'Tzivanu. And Brisker is suggesting, name of his father, Reb Chaim, well, maybe there's a machlokas on the page of Shulchan Aruch, but is it a Birkas HaMitzvah? Does Birkas HaTorah function as any other Birkas HaMitzvah does? Or is it sort of a more of a Birkas Shevach V'Hodah? Not a bracha about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but a bracha on the encounter. We're struck, much as one's struck by the physical majesty of the world. They've seen the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in physical creation. Osamasabrashus, Shekocho, Gvrosa, Mayolam. So, you come across, every once in a while, you come across a spiritual entity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created. And our response is a spiritual equivalent of Yisher Kochu Gevurah Mo'ilam. Sher Ki Yishon Sosu V'Tzivanu La'asek B'Divrei Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity to involve ourselves in the gift of Torah. V'harevna Asher Bachar Banu. Okay, so two perspectives on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now, what we had touched on last, or we opened with last time, though, before we moved to sort of thinking about these two perspectives in Talmud Torah, and before we had spoken about sort of two aspects of Talmud Torah itself, we'd opened with a question which we left for today to deal with, and that question was: so this mitzvah of Birkas Torah, interesting two panim, two aspects, two perspectives. But this mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah, is it a mitzvah? Gemara at the end of Maseches Makos tells us there are 613 mitzvahs. Clearly not every din is a mitzvah. There are tens of thousands of, at least, hundreds of thousands of dinim. Only 613 mitzvahs, not every din is a mitzvah. Which ones count? Specifically, does Birkas HaTorah count? The Rambam leaves it out. And the Ramban insists that we ought to count it. That was the context of that poetic Ramban, which we read. That was in the Ramban's list of mitzvahs, which he feels the Rambam should have counted but didn't. So it's an added mitzvah. The mitzvah that the Ramban is adding to the list. Why didn't the Rambam count it? So Gemara in Brachos Chaf Aleph, where it all began. That's Birkas HaTorah is Doraisa. It's based on a pasuk. It seems to fit the bill. The Rambam believes you're supposed to say Birkas HaTorah, but he doesn't count it as a mitzvah. The Ramban does. How come the Rambam does not count it as a mitzvah? So to explore this some more, the mystery of the missing mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah, we're going to need to step 10 blot backwards. Last time our focus was on Brachas Daf Chaf Aleph, while today our focus is on Brachas Daf Yud Aleph. Okay, so here's the Gemara Daf Chaf Aleph that we had been focused on last time. Minayin leBirkas HaTorah lefaneh, Bracha Birkas Torah lefaneh min HaTorah, Kishem Hashem Ekra, the Pasuk in HaAzinu. That was the Gemara Brachas Daf Chaf Aleph. Ramban had built his presentation of the mitzvah d'oraisa of Birkas HaTorah around this Gemara. But now let's step back, as I was saying before, to Brachas Daf Yud Aleph Amid Beis. And it's a question that we, intriguing that's even a machlokas. You know, last time we were talking about the double machlokas, Shulchan Aruch and the Vilna Gaon, one of the issues was, you know, near the beginning, see from Gimel and Dalet, was, you know, do you say Birkas HaTorah? What sort of Torah do you say Birkas HaTorah in the sense of, let's say I'm not writing, I'm not speaking, I'm just thinking about it. So that was Sifim Gimel and Dalet. But Sif Beis, the Sif before, addresses itself, the first really halachic question, that's about this sugya, and Daf Yud Aleph. Which parts of Torah do you make a Birkas HaTorah? Not how I'm learning it, which modality, am I speaking, am I just thinking? Which sections of Torah, which svar on my shelf call for Birkas HaTorah and which don't? You know, if you've never seen the sugya before, the first time I saw the sugya, I was like caught off guard. I thought that Birkas HaTorah is for all of Torah. You take a look, and it's an intriguing machlokes amoram. Here we are on the 15-20 lines down. Amar Rav Huna, Yud Aleph from the days. Amar Rav Huna, the line begins with the word Huna. Amar Rav Huna, Lemikra Tzarech Levarich, or Lemedrash Ein Tzarech Levarich. The first opinion, the first of four opinions in this Gemara, Rav Huna says you really only have to make a bracha on Mikra. If you learn Tanakh, then you make a bracha. But if you learn Torah Shabbat Peh, such as Medrash, then there's no need for a Birkas HaTorah. Wow. Wow. Rashi explains, Medrash is Karov LeMikra. Medrash is close to Tanakh. What does that mean? First he tells you what they are. Mechilta Sifra Sifrei, those are the classic Midrash Halacha. Mechilta is the Midrash Halacha on Shemos. Sifra is on Vayikra. Bamidbar, and Sifrei is on Bamidbar and Devarim. Shehei Midrash Mikros. Those are the Midrashim of the Tanam, the early Amoraim, on the Psukim. Medrash is when you have Torah Shel Peh organized, you know, al Seder HaPsukim, as opposed to Mishnayos and Gemara, which are organized al Seder in Yanim, in a topical fashion. So a Medrash will work its way through the Psukim and comment, often the same type of content that you'd find in Mishnah and Gemara, but organized al Seder HaPsukim. So Rashi says, that's close. Karav L'mikra. Why is that important? Well, Rav Huna says, only Torah Shebichsav calls for a bracha. The second opinion, Rabbi Elazar, the second Amor says, Lemikra ulemedrash tzarech levarach. You need the bracha not only for before you study Tanakh, but even before you study Medrash. But lemishne ein tzarech levarach. But if you're learning Mishnah, that array doesn't require a bracha. Why? Presumably because that's not karov lemishne. Rabbi Yochanan goes a step further. Rabbi Yochanan says, af lemishne nami tzarech levarach. But letalmud ein tzarech levarach. Rabbi Yochanan says, even Mishnayos require a bracha. Even Mishnayos require a bracha. Why? So Rabbeinu Yonah explains in the back of the Gemara that, even Mishnah, you know, every once in a while will involve Psukim. So that also is a little bit connected to Tanakh. Intriguing. And finally, Finally, the position of Rava. Rava Amar, Afla Talmud Tzarech Levarech. Even for Gemara, you got to say Birkas HaTorah. Even Gemara. Fascinating. What does that mean? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, because even Gemara also sometimes involves Psukim. Right? We're familiar with that comment that Baal HaTosfos is making Kiddushin about, you know, The Gemara talks about having a blend of learning Tanakh and Mishnah and Mikra, but at those point out, but when you learn Gemara, you do get a, you know, you get a cross section of all of them. Now, Gemara does include some Psukim. Rabbeinu Yonah says even Gemara requires a Birkas HaTorah because even Gemara involves Tanakh. Fascinating, right? So a consistent approach throughout. If you look at the Rambam, he doesn't say that. The Rambam says you have to make a bracha bein b'tarah shebichsav bein b'tarah shebaalpeh. No tip of the hat to tarah shebichsav. And Rashi is even sharper. Take a look at Rashi right here. Af lo gemara tzarach levarach. Rava says even gemara requires a birkas haTorah. Shehu ikar haTorah shemenu hora yotza. What's the tone of Rashi? Gemara requires a Birkas HaTorah. That is the root of learning. That's central to learning. Shemenu ho-ra'a yotza. Because Psak Halacha Lamasa can only emerge from the sort of detailed analysis that Gemara offers. You notice anything about what Rashi said? As opposed to Rabbeinu Yonah? What do you say? Right, exactly. I like the phraseology, Nathan. Right, for Rashi, we're no longer mikrocentric. Right? We were. Rashi said that the second opinion, right, Rav Huna clearly said, the first opinion said only mikra. Even Rav Elazar, Rashi said, medrash also because it's karav lemikra. Right? So maybe the first two, maybe even the first three opinions were, as you said, mikrocentric. Birkas HaTorah is really about Torah Shebichsav, but this also involves some Tanakh. Right. And as we said, Rabbeinu Yonah keeps that going all the way through. Even Rava, Gemara also has some Tanakh in it. And after all, the simple language of the Gemara was Af LaTalmud Tzarach. Even Gemara requires Birkas HaTorah. So the simplest reading of the language of the Gemara is consistent with Rabbeinu Yonah. Right? But Rashi rejects that. Rashi understands, let's take that step further. Rashi understands that the Amoraim are debating this point. That Rav Huna and Rav Elazar, and hard to know about Rav Yochanan, they held that Birkas HaTorah is about Tanakh. Either Tanakh alone or Medrash, which is Karav LaTanakh. So in our minds, think about learning Chumash and Rashi. You learn a Perush al HaTorah that's structured the same way Perushim of Rishonim are structured the way the Tanaim and Amoraim are structured Medrash. It's Tarash Vapeh organized as a Perush, as something that surrounds the Tanakh. That's Tanakh plus. But Rashi says, but Rava doesn't hold that way. Rava says, Gemara, it's a rejection of the whole fundamental idea. It's no longer about Tanakh or Karva Tanakh. Gemara is learning. Gemara is, and it sounds as though Rashi, if you listen to the echoes in Rashi, he says, this is the Ikar HaTorah. This is the core, central root of Torah. Why shemenu hora yotza? So it perhaps reminds us of other Gemaras, where the Gemara speaks of sort of a ladder of Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, then Asukin Shmaita Liba de Hilchasa. Right? To be able to paskin, or the Gemara speaks about, you know, the 1,000 enter elementary school, enter cheder, begin learning Tanakh, and sort of a percentage progress to Mishnah, a percentage of those progress to Talmud, and then finally a percentage of those are yotze lahora. Right? So that's sort of the a great attainment in learning is a level of a Higia LaHorah. And the Higia LaHorah comes ultimately through Gemara. So it's no longer, well, Gemara is also a bit of Tanakh. No, this is learning. Now, who points this out? So Rav Zsolti, Rav Betzal Zsolti, in his Mishnas Yavetz, I have a set of three volumes of Mishnas Yavetz, his Chidushim, organized by Archaim Yerodeh and Choshe Mishpat. The Or HaChaim volume is specifically on Yonei Moedim. He was one of the great Rabbanim of Yerushalayim in the 20th century. Just to give a sense of who he was, his name is not as familiar as many of his Talmidim. Many, many years ago, I was in Rabbi Willig's office at Yeshiva, and I pulled a Torah journal off the shelf in his office, and it was published by a Kollel. It was a Chidush Torah published by a Kollel. So I'm looking to see who are the members of the Kollel publishing Haaretz. So they're not Harav because they were just, you know, Kol guys. Kol, who are the Kol Yungalai in this Kolo? Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Yosef Shalom El Yashiv, I believe Ovadia Yosef, who we of course know as Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yashiv, Rav Ovadia. At that point, they were the young pre-Harav members of the Kolo. And who was their Rosh HaKolo? Rav Bitzal Zhalti. So this was a Talmud Chacham, a great Talmud Chacham from Yerushalayim, whom we perhaps are not as familiar with, as I said before, as many of his Talmidim. So his the volume on Aruch Chaim, which I believe is the thickest of all, the shiurim that he gave, Likras Yom Tov, public shiurim that he delivered in Yerushalayim, in I believe the 70s and the 80s, maybe the 60s also, in advance of a Yom Tov. Actually, the 80s, probably the 60s and the 70s. So one of the shiurim he gave before Shavuos was about the topic of Birkas HaTorah. And he points out this machlokas Rishonim, whether do all the Amoraim agree that Birkas HaTorah is basically about Tanakh, that's the position of Ben Yona, or as Rashi and Rambam say, no, maybe some Amoraim held that had to do with Mikra, or primarily Mikra, but we pass like Rava, and Rava rejects that fundamentally. It's not about Tanakh, it's about Torah. And again, so I said before we began to learn this Gemara a few minutes ago, like to us, if you haven't come across this before, the whole premise strikes us as odd because we just assume Birkas HaTorah is a learning Torah. And that muscle rishon is important because what does this mean? According to Ben Yona, no one thinks it's about Birkas HaTorah. According to Ben Yona, all the Amoraim agree that Birkas HaTorah is about Tanakh to a greater or lesser extent. And even according to Rashi and Rambam, certainly some of the Amoraim held that Birkas HaTorah is about Tanakh. What does it mean? What does it mean? So Rav Zhalti takes a particular approach. I want to take a slightly different approach, but I want to certainly work within the structure that he develops. The notion that Birkas HaTorah is about that it's about Tanakh in particular. So to paraphrase the Vilna Gaon's question from last week, right, the Vilna Gaon and the Be'er Grah, no one would argue that you're not Mekayem the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah if you learn Torah Shebaal Peh. Right? Rav Huna didn't hold that when you learn Gemara or Mishnah or Medrash, you're being Mevatel Torah. That's non-negotiable. Everyone agrees that Talmud Torah is comprised of both Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, and that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and the chiv of Talmud Torah includes both and requires both, as a matter of fact. So what's being debated here? So clearly, what's being debated is, along the lines of what the Vilna Gaon said and Harav Chaim responded, is Birkas HaTorah about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah or not? Rav Huna, who said it's only Yom Ha'ik Birkas HaTorah Mikra, and according to Ben Yona, all Amoraim hold that it's not about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. What's unique about Mikra, presumably, is not that it's a greater kiyum of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, as Rashi put cogently, and we have no reason to anyone else would disagree. The Ikar HaTorah is, you know, the highest levels of learning, attainment of Luma Masalamed, Luma Maslasis in the fullest sense, Asuka Shmait Libet Hilchos Ahora, that comes ultimately through Gemara. What Tanakh in particular does offer in terms of the experience of Talmud Torah is the experience of Talmud Torah. You know, when the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos, when he quotes Psukim, he tends to introduce a pasuk rather than Shenemar or Kimo Shekasev, he'll introduce a pasuk with the Hebrew translation is Omar Hashem. The original Arabic is Kailalah. Omar Hashem. Hashem said, dot, dot, dot. Even, and not just when it's a pasuk that strikes us as, you know, machshava oriented or musar oriented or particularly rousing or inspiring. Every pasuk in Chumash ought to be rousing and inspiring. Every pasuk in Chumash is Dvar Hashem. He's quoting a technical pasuk about the halachas of Shemitah. He'll say, Amar Hashem, God said, Hashri is Tishmatenu Natashta. Okay? And I've taken it as sort of like a subtle and powerful reminder. Every pasuk is Dvar Hashem, a simple truth, which, like many simple truths, is A, very profound, and B, one that we tend to forget about, as the Mesil Shishar reminds us at the very beginning of the Sefer. And every single pasuk is direct Dvar Hashem. These are the words of God, literally, not a human restatement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's meaning. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's formulation. The God's own formulation, Amar Hashem. Every single pasuk is Amar Hashem. So while the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is probably fulfilled equally, regardless of which chelik of learning I'm involved in, and one can even make the argument that there's a greater mitzvah of Talmud Torah in Talmud, but the sense of encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the experience of learning, that may well be heightened when I'm learning the direct Dvar Hashem. These are the very, not only the ideas, but the words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose. So what emerges is that Rav Huna is saying the bracha is not a bracha on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The bracha is a bracha on the encounter with learning. And some Rishonim hold that everyone holds that way. Rabbi Yona says everyone holds that way. In other words, Rabbi Yona, on this question of which parts of learning call for Birkas HaTorah, is aligning himself with his Mechutin, the Ramban. If the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is about, excuse me, the mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah is about, it's a Birkas Shavach V'Hodah. It's about the encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about the rendezvous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Talmud Torah. While Rashi and the Rambam, they say maybe some Amorim held that way, but we pasken like Rava, and he, unlike Rabbi Yonah, they understand that Rava rejects the mikra-centric approach to Birkas HaTorah. But that means rejecting the notion that it's about the encounter. There, of course, is an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the bracha is the Birkas HaMitzvah. So what emerges now is that what last week was a machlokas 1500, 1700s, a machlokas Shulchan Aruch and the Vilna Gaon. What's the nature of Birkas HaTorah? Is it a Birkas HaMitzvah or Birkas HaHodah? That's now a machlokas HaRishonim as well. In the 1200s and the 1300s and the 1100s, it's already a machlokas Rashi and the Rambam versus Rabbi Yonah. Now that's very significant. Not only because that expands the scope of this machlokas, not because now we have another nafkamina in the machlokas, and we have more voices in the machlokas, but we now for the first time have a Rambam. We open by wondering, what is the Rambam, why does the Rambam not count Birkas HaTorah as a mitzvah? So now we have our first piece of evidence. The Rambam holds that Birkas HaTorah, unlike the Ramban, he, number one, disagrees in terms of the nature of the mitzvah. While the Ramban, when he describes the Birkas Shevach V'Hodah, the Rambam here is saying the bracha is, he interprets Rava as not mikra-centric, which we're understanding means Birkas HaMitzvah, unlike the Ramban. How do we bridge the gap to the second question of not only what's the nature of the bracha, of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but Birkas HaTorah, but is it a mitzvah at all? So for that, we turn our attention to a third Gemara, our last Gemara for today, a third Gemara Maseches Brachos. Turn to Daf Mem Hei. This is the beginning, the very opening of the seventh parak of Maseches Brachos. The seventh parak is dedicated to the dinam of Birkas Hamazon in general and Zimun in particular. See the opening line of the first mission of the seventh parak. Three people eat together, they have a chiyuv of zimun. There's a tremendous amount to say about those five words, but it's not our focus right now. But I do want to turn your attention to is the Gemara's first question is, Menon Emili, where does this come from? That one needs to say Birkas HaMazon, that's the pasuk in Parashas Ekev. V'chalta v'savato v'erachta. But what's the significance of joining together as a group for a zimun? Menon Emili, Amar Rav Asi de Amar Kra. Rav Asi says that the source is a pasuk in Tilim. Gadlu l'Hashem iti. You, plural, talking to at least two other people, give greatness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu together with me. Right? So that's the dynamic, that's the structure of Zimun. That's Rav Asi's approach. But take a look at Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu says, no. You know what the source is? Ki Shem Hashem Akra Havu Godel Elokeinu. The source of Zimun is a pasuk in Hazinum. Ki Shem Hashem Akra, when I call out the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Havu Godel, you, plural, so at least two other people, join me in giving greatness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the structure of Zimun. So Zsolti points out, 1 second. I thought in Daf Chafalov that pasuk was the source for Birkas HaTorah. So apparently, there's a machlokas ha'amoroim, what that pasuk is meant to be a source for. Is that a source on the level of Doraisa for Birkas HaTorah, the Gemara in Daf Chafalov? Or is it a source on the level of Doraisa, apparently, Menohan Emili, Rabbi Abahu here in Daf Memhei, for Zimun? So Rav Zsolti suggests that there's a machlokas hasugis between Daf Chaf Aleph and Daf Mem Hei. Fascinating. Is Birkas HaTorah Daraisa or is it not? And he goes a step further. The Gemara Daf Chaf Aleph, which Ramban had quoted as Birkas HaTorah being Daraisa, Kishem Hashem Ekra, so that Gemara presented, you'll remember, two different brachas as being daraisa, and they were very parallel. Birkas HaMazon and Birkas HaTorah. Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elokeinu. The focus is on Torah as Kriyas Hashem, Kriyas Shem Hashem, an expression of Elokus, a communing, a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah, and it's in parallel to Birkas HaMazon. In other words, if you say that Birkas HaMazon, if Birkas HaTorah is daraisa, that is to say that it's a Birkas Shevach v'Hodah. So the Ramban is consistent. He says it's Daraisa, based on the Gemara Daf Chafal, which he accepts, and that's why A, it's Daraisa, and therefore should be counted as a mitzvah, and B, the nature of that bracha is Birkas Shevach v'Hodah. The Ramban, but says Rav Zsolti, but the Gemara Daf Yud Aleph and the Gemara Daf Mem Hei are both disagreeing with the Gemara Daf Chafal. The Gemara Mem Hei said, we use Kei Yishem Hashem Yakar for a different din for Zimun, not for Birkas HaTorah. And the Gemara Daf Yud Aleph, according to Rashi and the Rambam, understands that Amachlokes Amoram, what's the nature of Birkas HaTorah? What's that rooted in? Perhaps, is it Daraisa Drabanan? If it's Daraisa, then it's a Birkas HaHodah. Ki Shem Hashem Yakar, Havu Godel Elokeinu. It's praising Hashem for the gift, the capacity to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be enlightened by Ribbono Shlom through Torah. If it's Doraisa, Daf Chaf Aleph, then it's a Birkas Shevach V'Hodah. But if it's not Doraisa, Daf Mem Hei, Rabbi Abo used the Pasuk for some other din, then Birkas HaTorah is just like any other Bracha Drabbanan. What is it? Part of the general Takana of Birkas HaMitzvahs, most likely. And indeed, that's the approach of Rava, according to the Rambam and Rashi, on Daf Yud Aleph. So the two issues are interconnected. The machlokas between Chaf Aleph and Mem Hei, whether there's a pasuk for Birkas HaTorah or not, and the machlokas, according to Rambam and Rashi, machlokas Amram and Daf Yud Aleph, what's the nature of Birkas HaTorah reflected in, is it mikrocentric, or is it just about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? So the Rambam paskins that it's about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because the Rambam paskins like Rava, and formulates Rava saying, doesn't matter Torah Shul Chsar, Torah Shul, but it's about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So not surprisingly, the Rambam accepts the Gemara Daf Mem Hei over the Gemara Daf Chaf Aleph, and understands that, yes, there was an Amor in Daf Chaf Aleph. There was an Amor in Daf Chaf Aleph who said that Birkas HaTorah is Daraisa based on the Pasuk. If it's Daraisa and has a Pasuk, it ought to be counted as a mitzvah, but the Rambam would say we don't paskin that way. We don't paskin that way. So memela, we don't count as a mitzvah. It's a one of the Seder HaBrachos. It appears in Hilchos Tefillah, but it's not a freestanding mitzvah because it's not Kishem Hashem Ekar Havu Godel Elokeinu. And I would close where we closed last time because we've expanded both the breadth and depth of the Chakira that we began to build last time. The Chakira over what's the nature of the Birkas HaTorah. Is Birkas HaTorah on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Is it Birkas HaMitzvah? Or is Birkas HaTorah on the spiritual meaningfulness of Torah, on the encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the guidance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us, the potential HaKadosh Baruch Hu is offering us to lead lives enriched through Torah? Or as the Stipler put it in his article on Birkas HaTorah, is it a Birkas HaMitzvah or is it a Birkas HaNenin? And as we said last time, it began to develop at the end of last year. I think that captures two aspects of Talmud Torah. Whether the brachas on this aspect, the brachas on that aspect, everyone agrees that it's both business and pleasure of Talmud Torah. I mentioned last time we closed with the insight, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's insight to the Gemara on Tainus Daf Zayin, commented in Pesukim in Yishayahu that Torah is compared to water, to milk, and to wine. He suggested that it captures the two different aspects, two different faces of the Talmud Torah. The Talmud Torah is the water and milk of our lives. It's a necessity, as Rabbi Akiva explains while he's on death row, Roman death row, for having taught Talmud Torah by Rabbim. He shares a fable of the fox and the fish, right? And the human fishermen discover a pond that had been previously unknown, and now they're beginning to fish the pond. And the fish who live in the pond are now in danger they had not previously had. And an enterprising fox comes by and says to the fish, "Why don't you join me out, on dry land? It's getting dangerous in the water." The fish looks at the fox and says, "You're supposed to be it's a wise animal. That's an absurd idea. I'm in the water, I may survive, I may not. But to leave the water, a fish out of water has no chance." And Rabbi Akiva said that a Jew needs Torah like the fish needs water. So Torah on the one hand is our water and our milk. And on the other hand, it's the source of intense luxury, much as wine is the paradigm for luxurious pleasure. And Talmud Torah is often pleasure. It's always business. There is both the business, I don't mean in the financial sense, but Talmud Torah is both an obligation and a joy. Rav Volbe, at the beginning of the first volume of Al-Ashur, quotes from the Sefer HaYashar, Musar Sefer, one of the Rishonim. He says, every Jew goes through Yemei Ava, Yemei Sina. Every Jew goes through the times that you're feeling more on and times you're feeling more off. Extended stay at home could definitely exacerbate some of this dynamic, but it's true throughout everyone's life that our moods oscillate, and sometimes we're feeling and sometimes we're not feeling. We may oscillate over the course of a year, may oscillate over the course of a day. And there are times when I feel the yayin, and there are times that I don't. There are times when the Birkas HaNenin perspective, the Birkas Shavuot perspective is very natural, and times when I don't feel it. I'm not so enthused, I'm not so enthralled, I'm not so excited. I may be feeling down in general, but I'm certainly feeling down about my learning. And that's to be expected, that I'm going to oscillate in and out. And that's what Rav Volbe says, I cannot only learn because I enjoy it. When I can, that should be a key piece. But there needs to be a sense also of the water and the milk, of the Birkas HaMitzvah perspective, that this is something that I need. I'm on a hike. I leave you one final metaphor in the closing run. You're on a hike, and you didn't pack enough cold water. So you still have water, but it's warm. And it's been an hour since you've taken a drink. So the leader of the hike is going to insist everyone needs to stop and drink, even though the water is not cold. And the water is not, warm water is not appetizing on a hike. But it's critical. I don't enjoy the warm water, but I need it so I don't dehydrate. I must drink the warm water. Obviously, if the water was cool and refreshing, matov manon. But whether it's ice cold or way too warm, I'm going to drink that water because I need it. And that's Talmud Torah. As much as possible, we seek to embrace the Yayin Shel Torah as well, the Birkas HaNenin and the Birkas HaHodah. By understanding on the journey of life, I absolutely need to regularly dip into my canteen and drink water and hydrate, whether that water is cool and refreshing in the moment or is warm and, though not obviously so, life-giving as ever. And these two aspects of Talmud Torah that are captured and communicated by the rich lumdus of Birkas HaTorah is perhaps part of why the Ran writes Gemara Nedarim Daf Pei Aleph, and the Ran expands upon it, that Gemara identifies that the Jewish people, that part of the Onesh of Churban HaBayis was Shlo Birchu BaTorah Tchila. The Navi says, Al Ozvam Es Tarasi. They abandoned Torah. One approach to the Gemara is that that means specifically they abandoned learning Torah. And the Gemara understands it wasn't the learning Torah that they stopped, but they stopped saying Birkas HaTorah, which seems disproportional. And the Ran says, no, exactly what we've been saying. Without Birkas HaTorah, I might learn. And it might be something that I do because I need to. It might be something that I do because it excites me intellectually in a sort of neutral way. But I'm going to lose so much of the appreciation of the certain divine aspect of Torah and the human Jewish need for Torah without contextualizing it with the Birkas HaTorah. And so hopefully, by having dove deep into the lumdus of Birkas HaTorah, we emerge not only with an appreciation for halachic richness of this din, but understanding it the philosophy that it teaches us, and the appreciation for both the need and the joy of the Torah, which we re-accept anew over the course of this coming week. I both have a marvelous yontif. Thank you so much for joining. Ushtaki bizocha to renewed Kabbalah HaTorah over the coming week, for the coming year and beyond. Yashakoa.